Aren't you glad for the victory? Aren't you glad for the victory? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go back and continue our series we were having before Christmas and New Year's. And we're talking about hope for success. I know this was last year's theme, but I want to finish these up because I want to give you half the story. So Exodus chapter 20. Tonight, my message is entitled, How Can I Soar Like Eagles When I Fly With Turkeys? How can I soar like an eagle when I fly with turkeys? I want you to be here. I want you to be here. And it will be a blessing to you. And Jan and I and the family do want to express in our staff how much we appreciate all the gifts and the goodies and the cards and come in and all the things tacked to my door and the goodies hung on the doorknob and the gift cards and the cards that came to the house and very, very generous. So we appreciate it so very much. And, some monetary gifts that were somewhat substantial as well. And I just appreciate that so very, very much. And kindness to our family. And been a little over 13 years now and don't regret a moment of it. We're glad we're here with you. We just appreciate you. You're our family. And God bless you. Exodus chapter 20. Before we do that, you know where I'm going first, don't you? Joshua 1:8. Say it with me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's a promise in there, and we started this some months ago. He says, I want to give you, I want to make your way prosperous. I want to want you to have good success. Now, prosperous does sometimes mean that we may be wealthy, but that isn't necessarily what it's talking about. Prosperous means we're going to be moving in the right direction, making headway, making progress. By the way, God's not going to give us everything all at one time. We have nothing to look forward to, you know? And if he gives us everything, the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. So God's not going to give us more than we can handle. But he does want to make us moving in a positive direction. He wants us to have, listen, prosperity, you know, when most people, when they lay their head down on their deathbed for the last time, they're not really worried about how much money they made because that's not making a whole lot of difference. They're thinking about their family, they're thinking about the souls that they've touched, the lives that they've been involved in, the things that they've done have been able to be of eternal value. And so prosperous is that part. And success means we're able to move in a successful way. We're making, again, positive progress. And God wants us to do that. But he says, to make that happen, he says the book of the law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, really, and by the way, the Bible says that when Jesus, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and thy strength. The second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two laws hang all the law and prophets. So he said, if you put it all down, in fact, Nathan was talking about that in Sunday school class this morning here. When Paul says, he talked about all these gifts to show who Christ is and to confirm that they were from God. And he says, and I will show you a more excellent way. Last verse of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13 and he talks about love. That's the more excellent way. So really, that all goes into that. But the fact is, sometimes we need some hard and fast examples so we know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and so forth. And the law does that. So he says, I want you to keep the book of the law at the tip of your tongue. I want you to murmur it over to yourself. I want you to mutter it to yourself. I want you to be thinking about it all the time. So when you get ready to make a decision that you're going to do it in the right way, you're going to do it with the right perspective. Because if you do that and do it God's way, even when it doesn't make sense, but you do it by faith because God said so, he says, I'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. He will see to it. But we bounce forth and back and forth on these things. And sometimes we're following the law. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're just asking for trouble. We're just sliding stuff in there. We're gonna hurt ourselves. And so he says, I want you to know these things. So we did that, and we learned that verse, and we came to Exodus chapter 20, which is where God gives us these things. And again, we have come to the point where I think the Ten Commandments seems outmoded, old-fashioned. No one talks about it. Take it off the schoolroom wall. Take it off of this. Don't talk about it anymore. You might make somebody feel bad. Well, maybe somebody needs to feel bad. You know, if I go around and smack you in the face, I ought to feel bad about it. You know, if I curse you out, I ought to feel bad about it. If I steal something from you, I ought to feel bad about it. You know, if I lie to you, I ought to feel bad about it. Listen, it's supposed to be wrong. He gave us the law so that sin would be exceeding sinful. In other words, so that we'd see sin for how bad it really is. And this morning, what we're talking about has actually gotten pushed aside, a lot like the Sabbath, but pushed aside that we really don't realize how bad it really is. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's our God. He saved us. Verse 3, here we go. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Jesus said the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, then you don't love him. That's why the verse before says, talking about things that hate me. It doesn't mean that you just really, I can't stand God. It may mean that, but it doesn't mean that necessarily. It simply means, really don't care. Just don't care. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and that in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Why? Because he completed the work. Remember that, for we talked about that. He's completed creation. We don't need to add anything to it. He's completed our salvation. We don't need to add anything to that. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse number 12 is where we are today. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me say it again. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about honoring thy father and mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, this is one of those laws. And sometimes, Lord, we push this one aside and we think we're just fine. And yet we're not really seeing the full blessing of making our way prosperous and having good success. But you told us we're supposed to keep all, to observe all that's written therein. And Lord, if we skip this one, then maybe that's the one we're missing. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have your understanding here this morning. Lord, give me exactly what I need. I pray that you speak to each person's heart and give them each what they need. May your Holy Spirit move in Christ's name. Amen. This is one of those things that seems kind of silly. My guess is some of us, there was somebody in the room here who said, well, isn't this something you're supposed to teach in Sunday school to the kids? Well, it is something you should teach in Sunday school to the kids, but not just to the kids. Now, the law that we just read begins with our relationship with God. We are to have no other God before the Lord Jehovah. There is no one that we should submit to more than God. God is our supreme authority. Jehovah is the one we trust for our provision and our protection and our philosophy of life. He is all in all. That's Jehovah, God. Then it says we're not supposed to create a God in our hearts and our minds. We're not to create a God in our own image. We're not to submit to these false imagined gods. Then it says we're not supposed to take the name and character of God lightly. We shouldn't even use his name in vain. The fourth commandment transitions from our relationship with God to applying it to everyday life and how our relationship with God impacts our daily routine. He says we're supposed to remember the Sabbath. We are to mark it down so we do not forget to rest in the Lord our God. He is our provision, our protection. And that's our practicing. He says, you take a day. Well, what if, what? He said, no, you just take that day and just rely on me to take care of your needs. He says that we are to remember that we are to keep this law in our mouths so we observe to do all that's written in the law. In doing so, God promises to make our way prosperous and that we will have good success. Now, I've said before on several occasions that I believe that society has gone so far from God that we often do not recognize sin as sin. That is why God made the law so we would see sin for what it is. I mentioned a second ago, but Romans 7:12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. We need to see how bad it really is. Well, it's going to make me feel bad. Well, that's because he wants you to feel good. But you got to feel bad before you can feel good because you got to deal with the sin. Now, this particular law is so overlooked, except when we're trying to teach our kids. Honor thy father and mother. Why are you back-talking me? Why aren't you doing what I said? You know, we kind of throw it in their face. I think that we won't have a whole lot of problem with our children practicing this if we practice it. Society has become so calloused to the breaking of this commandment that it has become the norm. Television has certainly contributed to the practice of breaking this law, and at times they almost make it seem noble. Now watch me. Let me come back one more time. First, we're supposed to get straight who God is. Second, because of who God is, we can trust in Him and rest in Him. And the Sabbath is a consistent reminder of that principle. Thirdly, we're supposed to perpetuate the principles of these laws and the faith. And here is an application, a specific. In other words, this is how to enjoy life that God has given us. You say, honoring thy father and mother is how we enjoy life that God has given. Yes. Now hang tight with me here. First thing I want you to see is the precept. The precept. Go back to our verse here in Exodus 20. This is kind of a learning message here. My guess is we're going to touch on something that's going to drive home some things. It says in 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother. That's the precept. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, that word honor has the idea of weight. In other words, you should allow your parents, your mother and your father, to carry much weight in your life. We are to promote them, if you will. Make ourselves chargeable to them. Now, just hang tight, because I know some folks have not had such great parents. Understand. Just hang tight with me here, and I want you to understand the principle. Now, you cannot force someone to honor you. You can force an empty outward expression of honor, but honor is only true honor if the honor comes from the heart. Now, but we are supposed to honor our parents. They should carry weight. And the fact is, even when I know folks who haven't had necessarily good parents, but what their parents say does carry weight. it hurts hard. You know what I'm saying? There's a natural weight that's there. And whether good or bad, it carries a weight. It has a pressure. It has an impact on our lives. But when it says to honor them, to carry weight, it means that we're supposed to respect our parents. Leviticus 19:3 says it this way. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. That word fear means to revere, to hold in reverence. So they don't deserve my reverence. Why are you so great? I tell you who deserves honor is God. But God has put them in our lives. I'm not saying that your parents deserve honor because of some great deed that they've done. On the other hand, they are your parents and they need to be honored. Now, this may be difficult. Maybe that's why God had to command it. It can be hard sometimes. That's a tough message, isn't it? Now, parents, by the way, should seek to be honorable, able to be honored, if you want to look at it that way. Parents are to fear God and then pass that fear along to their children. Deuteronomy 6:1 says this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So he is just, in Deuteronomy, it's the second pronouncement of the law. So he's giving them the law again. He says, now here's what we're supposed to do with the law. You know, have no other gods, make no, you know, and all this, the Sabbath day, honor thy father and mother, and then it starts off with, the, you know, with all the, you know, don't lie and don't steal and don't commit adultery and all this, you know. And so he puts it in there and he says, now these, speaking to the Israelites, are the commandments, the statutes and judgments the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye shall go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That's why we're supposed to have these things, that we're going to fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the adults. He says, I want you to do these things. I've taught you these things. And he says, that thou mightest keep them and your son and your son's son. And generation after generation after generation. That's a very important part. Now think about this. It goes on, verse 3. Where it says, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So what's he saying? He talked about who God is, talked about how we're supposed to rest in the Sabbath, and then he says you're supposed to honor our father and mother. To what they say should carry weight, and then he gives us more of the real practical laws. What's he saying here? He's saying the reason you're supposed to honor your father and your mother because your father and mother are supposed to be teaching you the Word of God. And the only way we're going to perpetuate this is for them to teach you truth so that you will do it, and your children will do it, and your children will do it. If he said, if we don't do that, we're going to lose what we have. God is about to give them several more commandments in these Ten Commandments. And this is how these commandments are to be perpetuated. So we got the precept, honor thy father and mother. Number two, we got the promise. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother that. That little word that means with the purpose. With the purpose that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You go back and study it. He says, listen, if you start doing what the people were doing that I chased out, I chased them out because they were doing awful wicked things. You start doing what they're doing, I'll chase you out. That's what he says. Now, you want to stay there a long time, don't do what they did. Well, how are we going to keep from doing what they did? Well, I'm going to give you the law. Now, I want you to pass it down. Now, you kids, listen to what I'm telling you. That's what he's saying. He says, listen to what your parents, the parents you're supposed to be teaching. Listen, put it on the house. Talk about it when you're going around, when you get up, when you sit down, when you're walking along the way. Teach them the word of God. And kids, he says, listen to the precepts that's coming from the earlier generation. Why? So you may enjoy the promised land. So you can enjoy the promised life for a long time. How many families have fallen apart because we didn't pass along the word of God? Didn't do what we were supposed to do. And that doesn't mean that God can't make all things work together for good, but listen, scars stick around for a long time. I'd rather bypass the scars. I don't have to wait for him to knock me over with a 2x4. He says, if I can, he'll prolong my days if I do what I'm supposed to do from the very beginning. I don't have to be stiff-necked. I don't have to be hard-headed. I am naturally, but I don't have to be. Deuteronomy 5:16 says this: Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6:1, go to the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, obey them as long as it's something God would not have a problem with. He says, children, obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He says, listen, parents, you're supposed to be what you're supposed to be. Kids, you're supposed to listen. Obey them. Pass on truth. Number three. This is not really, this is just a statement here. But this command has much to do with authority and humility. The Bible says that we're supposed to obey the powers that be. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God, and the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So to go against the ordinance of God is to go against God. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, fact is, when you obey, when you honor, it's kind of humbling. I truly believe that God sits up and takes notice, especially when somebody honors their parents when their parents aren't really very honorable. I'll be honest with you. I think that most people know when they're being mean. They just kind of get stuck in that cycle. And they're too proud to admit it. And you might be surprised. Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies. Sometimes our enemy is somebody in our own household. At least we feel that way. How are you going to melt them down? Heap coals of fire upon their head? Honor them. Treat them with respect. They don't deserve, you don't know what they did to me. I know, God knows. God knows. I think sometimes we get so angry at our parents, we'd almost like to see them fry in hell. Wouldn't bother me. We should. That's a soul that God died for, just like you're a soul that he died for. It's tough. You know what the you know what that, listen, maybe that person who's giving you a hard time was never taught love in the first place. Sometimes the kids end up being the teacher to the parents, but you've got to do it by example. Not by trying to throw it in their face, but by just being what God makes us to be in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Listen, that's what they need to see. That person who gave you a hard time maybe just doesn't even know that anybody loves them. And a lot of people who are like that push people away before they get pushed away. And they think they've done something. I don't know. They need to be loved. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves before that person, even if you say they don't deserve it. I think I've heard that before. Wasn't there somebody who came from heaven and was born in a stable and was spit upon and made himself obedient to death, even the death of the cross, to a bunch of people who didn't deserve it? And he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." This is hard stuff, folks. But that's the line of command. And it has to do with authority and humility. Let me get another statement. Parents are to train up a child to honor authority, starting with them as the parents. Let me say that again. Parents, we got some young couples here and we got little kids they're raising. Parents are to teach their children to honor authority, starting with the parents. That doesn't mean pushy. Remember what a leader is. You've heard me say it so many times. A leader is someone who does right first. Every kid knows how to play follow the leader. And what does the leader do? They do it first, and everybody else goes along. I know we all have different personalities, but we can train a child. And I found out if we're not careful, most of the time we train our children to be like us. And sometimes I've seen families who don't, fathers don't like their kids. You know why? Because they're too much like them. We got to be careful. What are we training them to be like? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it." Parents are to teach the word of God, and we should heed it. Now you say, "Train up a child." Well, I didn't. I got the whip out. No, we're not training lions. We're training children. Training is not driving. Training is not humiliating. Training is not beating. Training is teaching, but doing it with them. It's the idea that we're going to do this together. I'll pick on Hannah this morning. She and Juliet came in. Of course, they just had their new little one, Alice, and she's got her in a case. In a case. What did I say, case? Car seat. Had a little lock on it and a cage over top. No. And so they came in here just before Sunday school, and Juliet's hanging on to the car seat and with Mommy and helping Mommy carry Alice to the nursery. Now, you know as well as I do that actually it made it more difficult. Right? But in the long haul, it's going to make life easier. The process is to train them to be self-sufficient but obedient to the Lord. The training is the process. We think somehow the children are born knowing everything that you're thinking. Why did they do that? They're a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. You have to, listen, you have to train. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He says, "Now don't, I want you to listen to me. Don't let my word just slide away." And then he goes on. You go back and read some. "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He's teaching them. Don't go with the rest of the world. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Keep you out of trouble. And he says, "Kids, I want you to listen to good instruction." But he says, "Parents, you need to be willing and ready to give good instruction." Parents should train their children to honor them just as they are to train them not to lie or not to steal. Parents will teach their children this law best by exhibiting it in their own actions. Watch. By honoring the spouse. Dad honoring mom. Not belittling her, not beating her, not, listen, yelling, screaming at her. By mom honoring dad. By the parents honoring their parents and the kids seeing it. Watch this. You honor your parents. Your kids are going to get old enough to realize one of these days, you know what, Grandpa's kind of a mean old guy, isn't he? But you know, Dad always treats him well. That's going to teach him something. It's going to teach him a lot. We need to do it first. We're just teaching them that it doesn't. Listen, when we don't practice this law, we're teaching our kids that law does not pertain to them. When we teach them that law doesn't pertain to them, you know what we're teaching? They don't have to keep all the law. If they don't keep all the law, they can't claim the promise. It's tough. You know, we think we're such great Christians, but now we talk about mom and dad. They're just nasty. By honoring their own parents, by being honorable toward the children. You belittle them, they're gonna turn around and belittle you. Wait a minute. They're going to choose where you're going to spend your last days. You better be nice to them. Teach them to be honorable. Don't disrespect your kids. Doesn't mean you obey them. They obey you. But they're people. They're little people with feelings. And they hurt. We've got to be careful. So what is proper training? Boy, we're getting in here. What is proper training? Well, look, Proverbs 3:11. If you want to get to Proverbs for a second, you can read a couple things. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Again, chastening, the rod and staff, it says in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And it talks about using a rod on the kids. Listen, it's not to beat them. It's to limit their opportunity, to limit their options. Nope, we're not going that way. Nope, we're not going that way. It's not to retaliate. It's not to take out that anger. It's not to air your anger so you won't do something else. It's not trying to beat them to death. You're not going to out-intimidate them. We're not here to make them cower. We're here to teach them the Word of God, to train them to do right. You say, "Well, I told them once they didn't do it." Well, God told you a couple things too once and you didn't do it. Guarantee you, because we're all like that. Proverbs 23:19, flip a few pages, says this. Proverbs 23:19, "For thou, my son, Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among rioters, eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Get out and get a job, boy. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's how you train a child. That's how we end up learning to be honorable. Hey, you listen, you might have grandkids. They need to see somebody who stands for truth, stands for righteousness, that has the love of Christ in them. It says, observe my ways. By the way, they do. They do. Watch this. We honor our parents by listening and obeying our parents in the Lord so that our lives are an honor to them as parents and not grievous to them. You understand when I say here this. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You know how you honor your parents? For being what you ought to be. Some of the greatest honor is watching your kids walk in truth and have someone say, boy, you got a sharp kid there. Proverbs 17:21, he that begatteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. The father of a fool hath no joy. Well, foolishness is bound in the heart of every child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far them. Again, it's not that you're beating them black and blue. It's your guiding, your limiting options. You're instructing them. You're training them. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. That word waste, his father means, he expects his father to bail him out, expects dad to buy him everything he wants. He wastes his father's money. It says he chases away his mother. He says he pushes her away, pushes her out of his life after she gave birth to him, cared for him all those years. So I don't want to hear you. Don't tell me what. He said that's not honoring. You know, we should not bring a stain to the family name. Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. It's tough, isn't it? We're supposed to honor our parents, but parents, there's a reason why he wants them to honor you, because we have the responsibility to give out truth. There are consequences of a delinquent parent in training the child. If we fail to teach a proper attitude toward others, there's going to be a problem. Proverbs 30 says this. We start out young. Watch this. There's a generation, an age, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. That's a little kid is not taught to respect mom and dad. Then verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I'm not wrong. I can do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. Verse 13, there's a generation, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Well, you know what? I'm really something. Don't mess with me. Verse 14. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. I'm so great, you don't deserve to be in the same space as I am. I don't care what you do. We'll just take what I want and get what I want when I want. And you know where you go to visit them? Concord Road. York County Jail. Probably because we didn't teach them to honor father and mother from the very beginning. 2 Timothy says this, verse 3, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Isn't that something? Disobedient parent, right in the mess, right in the middle of all that mess. Kids, there's some consequences of not honoring our parents. Calamity. Child badmouths mom or dad. Talks back. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." He says, listen, if you don't have enough sense to honor mom and dad and obey that little bit of authority, you're headed for a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. You think what they were doing is bad? You just wait till you become an adult and you have to obey the law yourself, and you're tried as an adult. When you're under God by yourself and you don't have some parent making that buffer between you and God, and he says, "I got to get your attention." This old man, my old woman. Many a lawbreaker started out simply by disrespecting their parents. They had no regard for authority. And if you will not honor your own parents, no wonder you have no respect for anyone else. Calamity comes when we don't honor our parents. Death comes. Proverbs 20:20, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother," that word curse just simply makes light of. Laugh at dad. Fool. You know, my old man, you know what he does? "Whoso curseth his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Going to put your lights out. That's what he says. Going to put your lights out. Exodus 21:17, "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." That's how serious he was. Leviticus 20 verse 9 says, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." It's your own fault. Proverbs 28:24, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, oh, it's no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer." We have no right to lay claim on our parents' property. I know we're getting long here, but I want you to understand the seriousness of this. The prodigal son did this. Give me my inheritance. And he took it and left and lost it all. A dishonoring son is bad for him, it's bad for his parents, and it's bad for society. Deuteronomy 21:18, listen, it says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." My soul. All because we didn't teach the kids to honor mom and dad. It starts right there. It starts right there. We think we have a good society. We only don't lie, don't steal. Listen, you know why we lie and we steal and commit adultery? We don't honor other people. We don't care about anybody else but us. We have not been taught. If we are wise, we'll listen. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 15:5, "Fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Now, I don't have time to get into all this. You go back and read it in Matthew 15, Mark 7. But Jesus had a confrontation with the Pharisees. And he said, "Why do you not obey our traditions?" Like Jesus is supposed to obey religion. Why don't you obey our tradition in that your disciples wash their hands? He said, come on. He says, your traditions disobey the law. And it goes on, and basically he says this. You all are supposed to honor your father and your mother. In other words, take care of them in their old age. But you know what you do? This is what they did. They said, you call it a gift. You call it Corban. And what they would do is, they say, well, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't help you. I can't pay for you all. I've given everything that I have to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. I can't give it to you. And it sounds so high and mighty, and the Lord says, you're supposed to take care of them. In fact, it's almost like, I don't know whether they did it in actuality or whether it was kind of figurative of giving everything to the Lord. So it's not mine anymore, so I can't give it to you, Mom and Dad. But see, I work for the temple, so they pay all my bills. So it's almost like saying I gave the church, you know, $100,000 so they could buy me a Rolls Royce. Now, I drive the Rolls Royce, but I gave the money to them. So I don't have the money anymore, Pop. Can't take care of you. Play games. Loopholes. We're going to have to stop. What if our parents are not honorable? We honor God, their God-given position, whether they fulfilled their position well or not. God does not address that because I don't think it's supposed to be an issue. Honor is not payback for being a good parent. Honor is a command of the Lord. We're not endorsing their actions, but we're fulfilling God's command in our own lives. I do not think that you have to acquiesce to their every desire just because they're your parents. I don't think you have to fund your parents' gambling habit. I've heard people who felt like they're supposed to. I don't think you have to fund their drinking habit or their smoking habit. We're not here to support their sin. They're responsible for problems brought on by their own sin. On the other hand, if you go back to law and see the consequences for sin, you can see that's going to be a problem. But do not expect them to be responsible for your sin either. If they are in financial issues due to no major fault of their own, we are obligated to help support them or even care for them in their own home. If you can't do it in their own home, we do it in our own home. Or you do it someplace, somehow. On the other hand, as an adult caring for his own household, you are the head of your house and not your parent. They come into your house. It's your house now. You get to get a lot of old things here, but we are to honor, we're all supposed to honor, but children obey. We are to honor our parents, but once we have our own household, we're our own household. If you're a child, you're living underneath mom and dad, you got to obey them. But once you're out and you're on your own, it's your decision. I know sometimes parents kind of get, well, you're supposed to honor me, do what I tell you to do until the day you die. No, I don't think that's biblical. Now, if you're having a problem discerning the use of this commandment, remember this. Which is the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord thy God with all heart, mind, soul, and mind, and others as yourself. Love your parents, even if you think your parent is your enemy. Love your enemies. We need to be careful not to overlook this command and lose the blessing of the Lord. Parents are to fear God and teach their children to fear God so they can pass that on to their children. But if the process stops, we're going to revert back to sin. And if we revert back to sin, then we're going to lose the blessing of God and we may even lose the land that God's given us. We need to practice this command whether our parents do or not. Their faults don't have to stop me from doing right and making my way prosperous and having good success. Don't allow your pride to stand in your way. Well, it's tough, isn't it? Responsibility on both sides. But if we do it the way God has called us to do, we shall make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. So, well, we've already messed up. Start today. Stick to it. You'd be surprised what God can do. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your blessings. Tough message this morning. And yet, Lord, it's very true. We better need to heed to it. We need to heed it. I think many times we've missed the blessing. This simple little command to honor mom and dad. Heads are bowed.